Welcome to Music from the Tower, highlighting the beauty of sacred and classical music. We come to you from the Tower of Hope on the magnificent campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. Now, here's your host, John Romeri.
Hello, and welcome to Music from the Tower. This is John Romeri, and we have two dear friends of Music from the Tower here. We have Richard Unfried, and we have Fred Swan. Welcome back to Music from the Tower.
Good to be here.
You are our first returning guests. You have now already done your solo shows.
But we haven't been found out yet.
Yeah, exactly right. Before we got all the details, we let you back.
Good.
So we are so happy to have you both back today. If you have not listened to their solo shows, you must go to our website and listen to Fred's show. It was amazing, all about his entire career, which is really one of the most prestigious careers anywhere. And Fred, I'm getting the stop sign from him, but he was at Riverside, he was here at Crystal Cathedral, he was at First Congregational, he was the dean of the AGO. He just did it all for the Organist Guild. He's one of the top in our profession and probably the most famous organist anywhere. And sitting right next to him is also one of the most famous organists anywhere. Richard Unfried was the very first organist here at Crystal Cathedral right after our villa. And we had a wonderful show together talking about all the early days of Crystal Cathedral and in the Arboretum and moving all the way until just about the time we began to talk about the Hazel Wright organ. And so that's why I invited these two incredible guests back today, because I really wanted to do a show all about Hazel. So let's start with, who is Hazel? Can somebody, one of the two of you, explain to me who Hazel Wright was and where she came from? She's undoubtedly the most famous organ donor in the world.
Well, I believe she came from Chicago. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yes. And when I heard that someone had given a $1 million gift, I couldn't wait to meet this lady to find out what her motivation was. I thought perhaps she had an organ in her home. Maybe she would have a favorite concert organist she liked to hear. What was it that would make her give $1 million? So when she was brought to the campus and we had a dinner, I was seated right next to her.
Oh, fun. Okay.
And so I popped the question eventually, and I wasn't prepared for her answer. And I hope I'm not going to disappoint your listeners.
I don't think so. I think everybody wants to know.
But she told me that she and her husband had become listeners to the Hour of Power some years before, and they had been greatly blessed by the ministry of Robert Schuller. So when her husband passed away and she heard that there was a lot of fundraising going on for the new Crystal Cathedral, she purposed in her heart that she'd have a part in that. She would make a contribution. But she didn't know what. And so when the representatives ran several things behind her, she told me, well, there was this garden somewhere that would take about $50,000, and she said that wasn't anywhere near what I had in mind, and so they kept parading a few other things in front of me that were nice, but they still didn't measure up to what I had in mind. Then they got to the organ, and they said, now, this would take a donation of $1 million, and she says, bingo, that's what I had in mind.
Wow.
And I was a little disappointed at the time, because she wasn't particularly an organ fan at that time. Hmm. And Fred has the second half of the story, because he got to know her as the donor of a second $1 million. And so today, with 35 years behind me since I talked to her, I look at it a little differently, and I'm really thrilled that it went the way it did, because she gave $1 million for an organ because her husband was inspired by the ministry of Robert Schuller.
Well, isn't that the most inspirational story? I mean, lots of us give money to different organ projects that we believe in or care about, or, you know, no organist has $1 million, that's for sure. So it has to be somebody else. But you actually met her, and that's really interesting. And did you meet her other times?
That was the only time I met her.
The only time.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, how about you, Fred? When did you meet her for the first time?
Well, I met her twice when she visited here. And, you know, of course, told her how grateful we were about the organ. And just once casually mentioned that, you know, this is a wonderful organ, but like anything with so many parts, it's going to take a certain amount of upkeep to... And anyway, long story short, eventually, with some help, of course, with Dr. Schuller, she gave in a second $1 million just for the upkeep of the organ.
Wow. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. And did she come back other times to hear concerts ever? Or was
she here
for the dedication?
I can't remember. Was she here for the dedication? I don't think so, was she?
I don't.
She was here two Sundays. That's all I remember. But I don't remember any other times. And I remember... It was one of those times when a musical guest didn't show up, and they said, well, you've got to fill the time with something. And so I said to her, Hazel, what is your favorite hymn? And she said, oh, God, our help in ages past. That's where my improvisation on that got started, kind of a last-minute thing that Sunday. And she was seemingly very pleased, very gracious lady. As she got older, she got a little dizzier, but that's quite all right.
Dizzy is okay when you've got at least $2 million for an organ project. Well, she undoubtedly is the most famous organ donor anywhere. I mean, the whole world speaks of this organ as Hazel. You know, I mean, there's no other organ like it. Part of it, of course, is just the wonderful playing that both of you did, the incredible exposure it had on TV to millions of viewers every single week. But really, I mean, I've played some wonderful organs. You both have all over the world, but they don't have names, and really you have no clue who gave the money for them or if it was one donor or 1,000 donors. But this particular organ at Crystal Cathedral and now Christ Cathedral has a name, and it's Hazel. And Hazel Wright is that person who gave this organ, and so few of us know anything about her. So thank you for that.
Well, you know, there are organs, smaller organs that individuals have given, but never one of this magnitude.
Oh, my gosh. It's unbelievable.
That sets it apart.
Well, so Hazel gives the money. Now, did that precipitate the whole project, or was the project in place and they were just looking for a donor?
No, the project was in place. Of course, we had the two original organs, the Skinner and the Rafati, and there were additions being prepared for it. But it was pretty much fully conceived by the time she
came
along.
Ready to go. Yeah. And that conception really came from a person right here in Southern California, right?
Yes.
And his name was Richard Unford, right?
Yeah.
And so with the help of Virgil Fox, did he help you design this organ? Who really put this all together?
Well, Virgil inherited a variety of sources. We had the original Rafati.
And how many ranks that was? We talked about on your show, that was Big Buddha, and that was in the Arboretum. And how many ranks was that?
Well, all told with the antiphonal was 116, but I think about 95 were moved to the cathedral.
Okay.
And then the Aeolian Skinner was 100.
And in our next segment, we're going to talk a lot about that Aeolian Skinner and where it came from. Mm-hmm. And we certainly want to talk more about that. But the original organ was a Rafati organ. We talked a lot about that on your show and how it came to be and how it was one rank smaller than the organ in Florida. And Dr. Schuller didn't like that idea at all. But we had a lot of fun talking about that. So be sure to tune in to Richard's show, previous show. But once that organ was decided to move out, then the Arboretum had no organ, right, for
That's
a
correct.
While.
Except the antiphonal was left.
Yeah, we left the antiphonal, and you could play weddings just fine on that.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
There were enough
stops
there.
Yes. It was 21 rank, complete, two manual.
Oh, wow. Was there a separate console in the back?
Yes.
Oh,
there was
okay.
a two-manual console
that.
For it, yeah.
Well, it just is an amazing place. And, of course, now the organ in there is the Fred Swan organ, which we enjoy playing every single week, our beautiful Aeolian Skinner. And we're going to talk a lot more about Aeolian Skinner and that name of that company and where that part of Hazel came from. And so, but before we do, let's hear a little bit of music. Let's hear you play, Richard, first. We're going to hear a little piece by Vivaldi that actually Bach stole from Vivaldi, right? And so tell us about that. And you're playing that in the Arboretum on the original Big Buddha, the original Rifati organ in that space. When did you record this piece? Tell us about that.
This was about early 1980. The organ was removed the fall of that year. But this was in the wintertime, and we had to record at night. My son was the engineer for the recording. And we had tuned the organ the week before. The tuning was great. And the only thing was we could only get about 30 minutes out of it before the cold of the evening would cause the pitch to drop. So I'd record for 30 minutes, and then we'd run the heaters because you didn't want the sound of the blowers on the recording. So we got the building back up to temperature and recorded another 30 minutes, and we got about 3 or 4 hours a night out of it.
Oh, my gosh.
Took us three
and,
nights,
of course, those were stories that carried right into the Crystal Cathedral, right, with temperature.
It was the same situation there.
Same.
When we
deal.
Recorded, yeah.
Well, we're going to talk a lot about more. We have so many more stories to share with you. So this is the Allegro from the Concerto in A Minor by Vivaldi that Bach pirated and thought was such a great piece, he played on the organ instead.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the Bach arrangement of that Vivaldi concerto.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be right back with a lot more stories from these two legendary musicians. Stay tuned. This is Music from the Tower. This is John Romeri, and I am here with two of the world's most famous organists right in the same room, right here in the Tower of Hope on our gorgeous campus. We have Fred Swan. We have Richard Unfried. both organists of Christ Cathedral, both instrumental in launching Hazel as one of the world's greatest instruments. And that's what we're talking about on today's show. We are talking about the Hazel Wright organ as we, all of us, the whole world, is getting ready for her return into glory. We want to talk more about the beginnings. We talked about Hazel Wright in the previous segment. And now let's talk about the acquisition of the Aeolian Skinner organ. Now, Fred, you were in New York at the Riverside Church at this time. How did that organ even become available?
It became available because I think it was either the second or third rebuild of Philharmonic Hall that had been done because it was acoustically a disaster. And they kept trying and trying and trying. And finally, they got hold of some man. I can't remember his name. I purposely forgotten it, even though I tried to get a contract out on him
once. Because he was blaming the organ, right?
He said, I will fix your acoustics, but you have to do everything I say, and the first thing you have to do is take the organ out, because everybody knows you can't have good acoustics in a hall that has an organ in it.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
So that is precisely why the organ and how the organ became available.
Well, as a young student at the Westminster Choir College, I remember not only playing that organ once for a Messiah sing-in, but I also remember using it for concerts with Westminster Choir and Leonard Bernstein and Pierre Boulez. I mean, the organ was used all the time in these great concerts, especially
all the time,
choirs.
Yeah.
It was so sad when that organ was removed.
I felt very bad about it. As I say, I played it so many times, never having any idea that a few years later I was going to be playing it on the other side of the country.
Well, New York's misfortune was certainly Crystal Cathedral's fortune, right? And Richard, you went to New York with a check in hand and snatched it up. Is that what happened? How did Crystal Cathedral become the owners?
Well, I first saw the advertisement in the Diapason magazine.
So it was just advertised. You know, so it was some old...
For sale, or Aeolian Skinner organ.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
And then, I didn't think much of it. Several days later, I got a phone call from a local organ man, Blaine Ricketts, who had seen that ad. And he said, you know, Richard, he says, now that we know what the dimensions of the cathedral are, he says, it's a real good question whether that Rafati is big enough to fill a room of that size.
And this was at the time when the building was being built, before it was even finished, or it was built?
It was just before the groundbreaking. Didn't they start construction around 77 and through there?
Okay.
And this would have been in 76, early 76.
Boy, it was right after I graduated from the choir college in 74. So that organ...
Well, they had to know what size the organ was going to be and the weight, especially, because they had to design the places for it and also to make it weight-bearing, the foundations.
So putting all these organs together, that was your concept of doing this?
Well, my idea was to have two organs of similar style and size in the front and the back. Usually we have an antiphonal organ, which is diminutive compared to the main organ. I thought, why not have equal sound and the congregation truly in the middle, of this sound?
Well, the organ always was known as the first stereo effect and quadraphonic effect in this great building, this great star of a building. And were you conceiving big divisions in the two other transepts as well?
No.
No, just back
front and back.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it didn't turn out that way, did it?
No.
Why not?
Well, I have to confess that after we got the Rafati dedicated in the Arboretum, and I was starting to enjoy that immensely, all of a sudden we had to look forward to what are we going to do in the Crystal Cathedral. And
was it always thought that the Rafati would go over to the Crystal Cathedral?
Yes.
Was that the plan?
Yes. In fact, at one time, Dr. Schuller wondered if we shouldn't either postpone the building of the organ, which we couldn't do, it was already half built, or to store it. And my argument was that it was better to install it and get 3.5 years or whatever use out of it, because the organ is vulnerable in storage.
And that's where she is now. Yeah. Unfortunately, poor Hazel is waiting and waiting for Christ Cathedral to be finished. But and so the Rafati was moved, and how did you acquire this Aeolian Skinner? And how large was the Aeolian Skinner?
Yeah, the Skinner was 100 ranks. It was built as 98, but they added two to it, so it was an even 100. And so it was a perfect size. And Skinner Organs, the name had a kind of...
Well, they were the Cadillac of organs.
They were the Cadillac. Yes, they were the Cadillac of organs. And the Schulers knew that. So that was an easy sell to them. But it was kind of like a contest because...
Were there other bidders? Who else was trying to get it?
I have no idea who was at it.
But you got it.
We got it. I remember the meetings where we got together, and the minimum bid was $50,000.
Wow.
And we thought, well... Surely somebody's going to go as high as $100,000. So then we decided we'd go for $100,000. And then they thought, well, what if somebody gets $100,000? Then what? So I don't know what it ended up, $101,000 or some dumb number.
Isn't that great?
You know? And so to our great delight, we won. And
do you know who else was bidding against them, Fred?
I don't know that there were any. Any bids.
Oh, you could have got it for $50,000, for heaven's sakes.
No. I mean, there may have been. I was part of the committee to try to save it and that sort of thing. The AGO put up a big fight about it going out of the hall.
I just thought it was a...
But it was interesting that both that and the organ that's in the Arboretum, both were Aeolian Skinners, and both we got because they couldn't stay where they were.
Yes, exactly. And, the Fred Swan organ is also Aeolian Skinner in our Arboretum, 82 ranks. And for those folks listening at home, a rank is usually a set of 61, sometimes 73 pipes. So it's a set of pipes that make all the same sound. The organ is not an economical instrument. So unlike a flute that might play 50 notes, a pipe on an organ only plays one. So you got to have a whole set. So if you have a whole set for every sound and you have 100 ranks, that means basically you have 100 sounds, 100 colors, 100 different colors at your disposal as the organist, and you pull out those little round knobs on the side and activate those colors. So having 100 from 116 or so from the Arboretum and 100 in the back makes it a pretty large instrument, to be sure. Mm-hmm. But then you added some more, right?
Mm-hmm. But if I can just insert a couple of quick incidents about purchase of the organ.
Yes.
I went to New York one morning and sat in the director's office. Robert Turner was his name at the time, plunked the check down and bought this organ. That's a real trip to buy a four-manual organ. But then he said, now that you are the owner of the organ...
Get it out of here.
We have arranged... Well, no, that was going to take 30 days, midnight.
Did you have to pay for that too? Who paid for the room?
Oh yeah, we had to raise.
Okay.
Yeah, we retained the curators of the organ, Henderson and Wilson, who had serviced the organ almost the whole time that it had been in New York, and they had to dodge all of the New York Philharmonic schedules and rehearses and everything.
Yeah,
but they got it out in 30 days. But at any rate, Robert Turner says, now that you own the organ, I'm sure you'd love to play it. So he says, we've got the next 5 hours blocked for you.
Oh,
so I got to play it
great.
In Lincoln Center for 5 hours.
Oh, my gosh, that's wonderful.
And then the other neat memory was that soon after, Dr. Schuller decided to have a rally for the Hour of Power in New York City. So the church rented Lincoln Center one Friday night. And we had about 3,000 New York viewers of the Hour of Power come. And here was the organ. And
still playing.
Yes, and I played maybe 20 minutes. It wasn't my best because I couldn't rehearse at all because the Philharmonic was in there. And Fred gave me Riverside for 5 hours that day.
Oh,
so.
Isn't that great?
But at any rate, the thing I remember about that program was that after I finished my 20 minutes, Dr. Schuller came over and... He took the roll top of the organ and pulled it closed and then patted and said, we'll see you in California, old friend.
Oh, that's a fabulous story. Oh, I'm so glad you shared that. What a great ceremoniously closed the organ. I hope they did something so so beautiful when the organ was taken to Italy before it became Christ Cathedral's instrument. Well, we just have time for a little more music, and then we'll talk a lot more about Hazel and her arrival in California, this East Coast part of Hazel, at any rate. Let's hear a hymn. How about All Creatures of Our God and King? Is this your arrangement, Richard?
Sort of.
Who'd you steal this from?
Somebody else wrote the best part of it.
Okay. And this, again, is still on the Rifati in the Arboretum.
In the Arboretum, yes.
Okay. And we will hear from Hazel in our next two segments with Fred Swan playing over it in the Crystal Cathedral. Please stay tuned. This is Richard Unfried playing All Creatures of Our God and King a wonderful hymn arrangement on the organ. We'll be right back with a lot more about Hazel. Welcome back. This is Music from the Tower, and we are talking about the Hazel Wright organ right here at Christ Cathedral. Used to be Crystal Cathedral, so who do you bring? The two experts from the Crystal Cathedral, Richard Unfried and Fred Swan, right here in our studios together. What a treat for us all to have you. We just finally got the organ out of Lincoln Center. That's where we left you off in the last segment. So it's on the way to California. Dr. Schuller closed the lid at a service in Lincoln Center. That was all news to me, and I found it fascinating. And so the organ's on its way to California. So now you're moving the Rifati, 116 ranks, 116 colors and sets of pipes. Then here comes the Lincoln Center organ, another 100 ranks. But that wasn't enough, was it, boys?
Oh,
you
no.
Needed more. Typical organist, you know?
Big room.
It was indeed a big room and still is. And so it probably isn't now the fifth organ, largest organ in the world yet. But you're about to add some more. And where did these pipes come from?
Well, Rufati, I mean,
added some to the organ.
Virgil fussed around about some things, and a couple others got in on it. And the string division was added.
Right.
And the two trumpet sections in the far...
In the far...
Corners.
Corners, there are these two trumpet divisions, right? That stick out horizontally, right. That you can pretty visually see. And in the back of the cathedral is a big string division. That doesn't mean there are strings, but it means these pipes are thin scaled and they have a very beautiful string-like sound. And so that was beefed up. Was that whole division added new?
Yes.
And it's my understanding that this was something new for Rifati.
To build strings?
Well, a string division.
Right.
Well, they built beautiful strings.
I mean, there's
gorgeous
string divisions on some organs. I think of St. Patrick's Cathedral. That's one of the most beautiful string, that wonderful organ there. But to have a whole division of strings, the Wanamaker organ in Philadelphia, what a string division that was. Did they go there and check it out?
And it's my understanding that Rifati went to Wanamaker's and did scale measurements.
Wow.
So these strings here are really descendants of Wanamaker or Kimball, wasn't it? Weren't they the ones that built the string division there? I don't know.
I'm not quite sure.
Well,
it came from the...
They're all from the Wanamaker organs.
Yes.
Right.
Which had a variety of builders.
Right.
Yeah.
Including the Los Angeles-based organ.
That was the original organ.
Yes, from the St. Louis World's Fair. So, all right, so there's a little St. Louis hook there. I was in St. Louis for such a long time, but that's nice to know. Then I went to Philadelphia, so I had to come here and play this string division, that's for sure. Well, okay, so we've got strings. Now we got a few ranks out of USC as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got the 32-foot double-open diapason. I was having a lunch one day.
So that means it's 32 feet tall in its lowest pipe, right?
Exactly. And I had a conversation with one of the leading organ technicians one day, and I was thinking that our only Flu 32 was that 32-foot contrageigen from the Aeolian Skinner. Mm. And I thought, for this size building, that's going to be a little bit anemic. And he said, well, I know where you can get one if you can figure out how to get it out. And so the challenge was thrown down. And
it doesn't sound like that's a problem for the Schuller gang. You know, I mean, it sounds like you guys just went, let's buy Lincoln Center. Let's go to buy one of the 32 ranks. And while you were there, you picked up a 16 on the way.
Yes. Humorously, we were not going to use that stop. We weren't going to even take it. But we had to take it out first to get to the 32. So it was sitting on the stage of Bovard Auditorium, and we were going to donate it to the stage crew for shelves or whatever they wanted to cut it up for.
Some lumber.
But they said, no way, you got to get that out of here. So I said, all right, throw it on the truck.
Well, we should remind our listeners, most of us think of organ pipes as silver and made of metals and tin and the like. But not all pipes are that. Some are wooden, right?
No, the 32-foot was made of wonderfully clear sugar pine.
Wow, beautiful.
And the 16, I believe, was made of redwood. So we had two fine California western woods.
And they both found their way into the organ here.
Yes, instead of cutting it up for scrap, it found its way into the antiphonal organ.
And how about some Virgil Fox stops? What about those Virgil Fox pipes? Where did they come from and how'd that work?
I think they were ones that he had in his home organ that he'd gotten from who knows where. I think they were originally Ernest Skinner. Ernest Skinner, the orchestral type breeds, English horn, French horn, and that sort of thing. I don't remember exactly which ones went in.
But he gave, or Dr. Schuller purchased,
right,
some stops from Virgil Fox.
Right.
And that went into the organ. So now how big is it?
At dedication, I think it was 223 ranks.
Wow. That's huge. I mean, when you multiply that even times 61, that's a boatload of pipes. And some of these ranks are much bigger than 61.
That was pretty close to Riverside, wasn't it?
It was a little larger than Riverside. It was 212.
Oh, okay. Mm.
So let's talk about that dedication for a minute. I have the program right here in my hand in the studio, and the organist for that was Pierre Cochereau. Who arranged for that? He was the organist at Notre Dame. How on earth did Dr. Schuller pull that one off?
I don't know.
I think, a pretty miraculous man, wasn't he?
Well,
he was smart enough to hire you two, so that's the start right there.
It's coming back now. Here's the thing. We are building a thing we're calling a cathedral. And so I think the logic was, what is the
most famous
cathedral in the world, and who's the organist there? And from there, we ended up with...
Well,
that's Schuller thinking exactly, right?
Yes.
Schuller thinking at its finest. Is that the idea? Well, and it worked. There he was, one of the most famous organists, certainly from anywhere, a very famous man, certainly one of the great organists of our time or that time. And Pierre Cochereau was here. Ted Allenworth was here. Even Pierre Cochereau's son was here to conduct an orchestra. So it wasn't just an organ recital, right? Of course, that would never do for the Crystal Cathedral. So it was an organ recital plus an orchestra plus choirs. The list of choirs takes an entire page in this program. And even if, say, there were 10 members from every one of these choirs, there would have been 4,000 people in there singing. I mean, it's unbelievable, the list of choirs, called the Gala Festival Choir. Unreal, the kind of proportions that this organ received in its first opening. Was the place packed beyond all telling? And Fred, you were here from New York, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine a more spectacular setting for the Jungen Symphony Concertante?
Wow. And that was, of course, one of Virgil's famous pieces. He had that wonderful recording of it. And so was Virgil here, too? Who else? Who else was the notable that were present besides
Virgil, though he had designed the installation, Virgil passed away in September of 1980.
Okay.
And
so he was not here.
We had a memorial service for him here less than a month after the cathedral opened.
Wow. Yeah. And how soon was the organ dedicated after the cathedral opened?
May of 1972.
82.
Pardon me. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so, and when did the cathedral officially open for worship?
I think it was that the second year? Sunday of September 1980.
Oh, all right. So they, and what organ was in there for the first couple of years?
The Rogers Company lent us the Royal Five. We had a five manual.
Okay.
Organ in here. Yeah.
All right.
So they're amazingly good too.
That's always the problem, isn't it? In wonderful acoustic spaces, is that the organ comes and everybody thinks it's wonderful. Mm. I know so many churches that are, you know, waiting and waiting to raise their money for a pipe organ, and nobody thinks they need it. Mm. You know, until the pipe organ actually comes, and then everybody's thrilled to have it and delighted that it's there. So there's this gigantic dedication. What are some other memories? Fred, what was your memory of this incredible dedication? Was it over the top?
Oh, way over the top.
Schuller over the top?
I think it just blew everybody's mind just to see those hundreds of singers. They completely filled the kneeling steps that were there at the time from wall to wall. Then the orchestra was above that on the platform and back where the choir now is.
I can't even imagine the proportions when you look at this program. And so there were big choral things and organ things and solo organ things, but organ and orchestra things.
Yes.
So all of that combined in one evening, I can't even imagine how cool that must have been. Who were some of the other notable organists present that day?
Oh, I couldn't even remember. It's been so long. But certainly anybody in Southern California who even had heard of an organ was here that night, if they could get in. Yeah, it was jammed.
And were there other things? What followed this?
Didn't what Pierre was the play recital of Sunday? Or he played for church on Sunday or something?
He played for church on Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he was away from the cathedral that weekend. In
one thing that I've always been amused by was on the Sunday evening, after Pierre had played in the morning, we had another program in the evening, and I was going to do a little bit of a demo of the different parts in the organ. Well, fine. So I was practicing that afternoon, and Francesco Ruffotti came in.
Oh.
And so I said...
The builder of the organ.
The builder of the organ. And so I told him that in my presentation, I was going to point out that we did have two separate organs that had been married. And I was going to play a full ensemble on one and then on the other. And he turned white as a sheet.
Oh.
He says, I don't think you should do that.
Oh, dear.
And I thought,
and we'll find out why. Don't tell us yet. We'll find out why in the next segment. We will be right back. But we're going to end this segment with Fred. Fred, you're going to play a trumpet tune that you wrote, yes?
Yes.
And this was on the Hazelbright organ.
Yes.
When did you compose this, and for what?
I don't remember the exact date. It began as an improvisation, as several things had that are of mine are published. When a musical guest didn't show up on Sunday morning, who was supposed to, something happened to them.
And you'd start improvising.
There had to be something to fill the time.
All right. Well, we will be right back after this beautiful trumpet tune by Fred Swan. Back to the final segment of Music from the Tower with these two giants of the organ world, Richard Unfried and Fred Swan, who's just cracking me up. Right when we cut away to a break, we were hearing this luscious story about Francesco Ruffotti just freaking out because you were going to demo the organs separately. And he didn't like that idea. Tell us why.
Well, I realized that he was so enamored with the Skinner name that he was kind of an underdog at this point. And so I said, wait a minute, just listen. So I did my shtick.
Shtick.
Yeah. And I turned around, looked at me, had a smile on his face. He says, gee, our organ comes off pretty good, doesn't it?
Well, there you go. Okay. Well, you know, Fervati was kind of a new boy on the street here in the United States. Right. And Aeolian Skinner was certainly the end-all of all end-alls. Right. Anybody who had an Aeolian Skinner just had the best of the best. Right. And those gorgeous orchestral sounds of those kinds of instruments that all three of us, I think, adore. And so... The organ is dedicated by Pierre Cochereau. Everything's going great. And along comes Recitalist number 2. And who might that be, Dr. Swan?
Guilty.
Guilty. And you broke the thing right off the bat, right?
No, I played the first half of the program before I broke it.
Well, it was very nice of you to at least play a half of a program.
Yes. Well, you know, one recital we had, I think it was Heinz Wunderlich. Came all the way from Germany, and he was playing a recital, and he was all practiced and everything else. And he began a piece, and he played the first page, and all the electricity in the county went off.
Oh, gosh.
And it wasn't going to be a matter of hours. It was a day or two before they got everything back going.
Oh, my goodness.
So he just had to leave, and we had no recital.
And that was the end of it.
So, you see, I played longer than he did.
Well, okay, we'll give you that, but that not much more than that. Now, tell us what happened in the middle of your recital.
Well, it was a mechanical thing within the organ, and it one thing triggered another, and it just refused to play, but we didn't know what was going to happen. So finally, people were getting antsy, and I just stood up, and I said, well, I'm not Carol Burnett, but I'll be happy to take your questions.
Take
because
a few
that's
shows,
what she did all,
yes,
the time.
All the time.
So we talked for a while, and then it was obvious that the organ was not going to play again. So
I only had that once, and I can't think of who the organist was, but at the very end in a big concert in St. Louis, some big reed went off, and no one could get it to go away.
Yeah.
And it just kept sounding, and we just had to scrap the last two or three pieces of this concert with this very famous organist, whoever it was at that time. But
I came back in the fall and did finish the recital.
Well, it was nice of you. It was nice of you. And you not only came back in the fall to finish the recital, but you came back as the organist and the music director here at Crystal Cathedral, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you and Richard both were here at the same time. Imagine having both these two absolutely marvelous organists.
Well, there was no way that I could do all that they expected me to do. So
I know the feeling very well.
When I was hired, I said only in the condition that Richard
would stay on.
Stay, so.
I wish you two were both still right here playing along.
So Richard, say what, 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
2 years. And finally one day he came to me and said, well, I see that everything's going okay, so I found another job.
Well, I hope I never hear that from David Ball, but at least during my time here. Well, it sounds like Hazel got off to a great start, and there were many more concerts after.
Oh, many, many.
So many organists came, and you guys played every single day for a half an hour just for the tourists?
Just for the tourists.
Yeah. Wow. And I can't even imagine having that much repertoire under my fingers. Did you repeat some pieces?
I did.
Be honest.
Sure.
Be honest.
Oh, of course, all the time. Just changed the names. Nobody knew.
Yeah, nobody knew. This is Allegro by...
And it was a different crowd every day, too.
Well, that was the good news, yes. I've played a couple of those recitals at the Boardwalk Hall, you know, and I just keep thinking as I did repeat a piece here and there... okay, this is a new crowd. And
right.
If someone came back, they can stand to hear that same piece again. Mm. I'll change stops or something, you know. But it's a great way to demo for the organ. Mm-hmm. I used to play the demos at the Symphony Hall in Philadelphia. And people came all the time to those tours because they knew they'd get a chance to hear the organ. And we certainly want to do that one, Hazel. All right. Well, tell me a couple more good stories. Richard, give us a couple of good stories of Hazel in the early days especially.
Well, you said it got off to a good start, and that was certainly true in terms of who came to play on it. But mechanically, it was kind of rocky.
Mm. Was part of it just putting the organs together, or was it the whole package or the mechanics of it all?
Well, it was the size of it was the biggest problem, because at that time, there was not apparently an electronic operating system large enough to handle that much organ. And so I think they had to try to get three motherboards to work together. One was a master, and the other two were slaves. And they were constantly getting into arguments.
Well, they pulled some real bummers in church at times.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all of a sudden, trumpet notes would fly off at
sound off. Wasn't there a story where the trumpets, every time you turn the organ on, would keep moving around? Mark Fowler referenced that. Every time they turn the organ on, this week that trumpeteria would play. Mm. The next week that trumpeteria, and then some big reed from the back and a big reed from the front.
Well, as Richard has said, there was no system evolved at that time to handle such an enormous machine.
Yes, now the solid.
So eventually we did get one that,
that
could really do it.
Now it was a piece of cake, but in those days
Yeah, when you think about it.
So Hazel would function fine sometimes, and at other times it would just arbitrarily act up. And there was one of our colleagues who loved to play on the organ, and I won't name him, but he actually had a piece that he said is a perfect piece to break an organ. You know, Bach would go and examine new organs, and he would test the lungs and really have the organ builder sitting there trembling, you know. Well, this individual, I think, was like to do that, to test an organ, you see. Well, Hazel didn't take very well to that.
Hazel did not like being tested.
And in time, after many people had played on that organ, we concluded that Hazel had a mind, and she decided who she liked and who she didn't.
Oh, gosh, I hope she likes me.
And one day we were standing. She didn't like this person I haven't named.
Okay.
She didn't like him at all. In fact, one time he thought he was practicing privately, and he stood up and yelled into the music rack. The curators were in the wings watching. He says, "You hate me. I know you hate me."
No cards and no letters. Don't even send me an email, radio listeners. I'm not going to tell you who it is.
One day we had a guest playing the organ, and the curators were there, and I was there. And Hazel was playing perfectly. And all of a sudden, she started going berserk. And somebody said, "That's funny. She only does that when Ted's in town, but I know he's in San Francisco today." Well, 5 minutes later, the door opens, and who walks in but
this person.
Our now-named person.
Okay, we told you, radio listeners. That's okay. Well, it's fun to hear all of those stories. Give us one good camel story. Tell us about the glories and how you had to have hard hats and the curtains and the, all of that stuff.
I don't think we have time for all that. There were many interesting things that happened.
Many great stories during the glories of Christmas, the glories of Easter. Mm. You did have to wear a hard hat, though.
Yes, right? I will say there was so much equipment, scaffolding stuff behind that huge high curtain, that it was really dangerous to walk around back there. You could trip over a cord and pull something down off a projector or whatnot. So Cal OSHA determined that as the organist, I had to wear a hard hat walking from the stairway over to the organ console. And I also heard that if an inspector caught me without the hard hat, it would be $3,000 fine.
Oh, wow. Okay. You saved
there was
Dr. Schuler some money, as well as yourself. Okay. And that kind of precipitated bringing the old console from the Arboretum over to the cathedral, right?
Put it in the gallery, and it functioned for several months because between the glory of Christmas glory of Easter, the preparations and performances, it was 3, 4, 5 months out of the year.
Now our listeners might know that we have a second console that's a great big molar console, which is pretty much a duplicate of the front console.
Not really.
Not quite every Not every stop.
And in fact, just last week I spent a lot of time with Pierre Ruffati going over a lot of details.
Yes, because we're working on that right now and getting it in shape to come back.
Yeah, when we put that in, there were a lot of changes that were made of necessity after that console was built. And nobody had the drawings and so forth. And so we were talking this. Finally, I said, "I know the guy who helped me design this. I wouldn't be surprised. He's a nut, and I wouldn't be surprised if he still has the drawings." So I found him in Philadelphia. He did have the drawings.
Oh, isn't that
so
great?
So I was able to get everything straightened out.
Oh,
so now,
good.
Now it's in the works. It's been
Thank you for doing that.
You won't really... There's no motor left at all. They're all new keyboards, and the only things that will remain are the stop jams.
The stop jams will still be there.
But there'll be keyboards, new pedal board, new case, new everything.
Oh, okay. I didn't know we were getting a new case. I'm learning things here on the radio as we speak. Fred's been helping us so much with the reinstallation of Hazel and, you know, was absolutely instrumental in getting the church, Christ Cathedral, to buy the idea of a second console in the back balcony.
And that's because the director of music wanted it.
Yes, he did.
It was not in the original plans to restore the organ.
No, because I was caught on getting that
because of the
first day I walked on the property.
Right, with the plans for the cathedral, there really wouldn't have been a place to put one.
No, but when the choir moved back to the front, right, we decided it was just essential to have that.
It's the only way you will ever hear the organ, because where you're going to be in the front, you won't be able to hear balances between divisions or organs or anything.
And you really sold that hook, line, and sinker to everybody on the committee and got us a wonderful donor, and we are so happy that's coming. I should also say we're getting a brand new trumpet, the Fred Swan trumpet.
It's just a chorus reed to replace one of the inferior ones.
Well, we're happy that that's coming, and we will be so honored to have that dedicated, as we will all of Hazel. We'll certainly have more shows about Hazel and her great return to Orange County. But we have one last piece to listen to. And tell us what this is, Fred.
This is a piece titled Heraldings by the American composer Robert Hebel. And it was commissioned by the cathedral for the first big commission for the organ.
The very first one.
And it shows off the trumpets in the various, in all four corners
of
the church.
In all four corners of the church. Well, what a pleasure it's been to have you both. Thank you for sharing all these great stories about Hazel and the great Hazel Wright organ that both of you helped to create and really make famous all over the world. And I can't thank you enough. This is John Romero, and this is Music from the Tower. Please join us next time, and until then, go out and listen to a live performance of some great music. Thanks for listening.